Open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to give us a short exhortation titled, How to Succeed Easily. Now, don't be fooled by that title. Do you follow my point? Listen to what I want to say first. I want to tell you how to succeed easily. How not to have too much problems while trying to make it in life. Just watch what I'm saying and you will understand. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, before I read that, I want to just quickly read something from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Or let me use New American Standard. It said, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That is, once desire is fulfilled, you tend to have a force coming out of your heart, producing good things in your environment. Your spirit, your body starts feeling better. The things around you tend to start responding to you positively, actually because of what is coming out from inside you. Do you understand that? Now, there's a reason why I read this. What we actually want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Please don't forget that hope that is deferred makes the heart sick, but the desire that is fulfilled, he said, is a tree of life. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I want to read something that Paul said, something we have discussed previous times, from verse 4. He said, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I, that is Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth, or God gave the increase. I like King James' expression there. He says, so then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth, that is the God who is giving the increase, the God who is bringing forth the results. The man who is laboring in himself is nothing. It is the credit. He said the credit goes to God because it is God that's bringing forth the results. But what each person does is to plant as God gives him the opportunity and to water as God gives him the opportunity. He said, what then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. So I planted. Now let's read the rest of it. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one. That is, they are in the same category. They have the same troubles. They are under the same restrictions. They can't take glory one like the other. He said, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Please notice carefully that his reward is not coming according to his fruit. His reward is not coming according to the increase, but the reward comes according to what? His labor. He said, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, I said earlier that this is where we stopped, actually. We're supposed to continue from here in our regular teaching, but I just want to use that verse or those verses as a focus of exhortation for us. Then we'll continue the exegesis next time. What did Paul explain here? There's a principle about life, but what I want to understand, there are many of them. What I want to emphasize on is what he brought forth about how God gives rewards to each person. That God gives reward according to what? Labor, not according to results. God gives reward according to labor. That if God gives you the opportunity, you do what you are supposed to do. He said, what is Paul? What is Apollos? He says, servants, that is working for God. It's God wanted you to believe. God was working on you to believe. So he used these men to make you believe. And I said, each one of them was serving as God gave him the opportunity. That's New American Standard. What I wanted to understand is the fact that each person is rewarded as he uses the opportunity that God gives to him, not as he gets results having used that opportunity. Please, this is so important. I said I'm talking on how to succeed easily, yes. At least without stress, without heartache, without troubles in your mind, without disturbing your soul. And I said, don't be deceived by that title. I didn't say how to make 100 million naira easily, all right? If anybody tries to teach you that, he's probably confused himself, all right? You are getting what I'm trying to say. I cannot tell you how to build a great ministry easily. I cannot tell you how to get the highest paying job in life easily. But I'm talking about how to succeed easily. Now, that will tell you something. Therefore, I'm redefining the success. Do you follow what I mean? That is, I'm not saying success is that you have built the biggest university in the world, or you have built the biggest company, or you have gotten the highest paying job in the nation. That most certainly cannot be the success I'm talking about. Do you follow what I mean? Because that's not what I said earlier. I'm not teaching how to do those things. But that success, let's define it, is just to be found faithful, all right? Having been able, so that you can sit down and say, yes, I have done that which God said I should do. I like one thing that was credited to the mouth of Catherine Kuhlman. She said that what she would like, that what she's laboring for, or what she would like to achieve, okay, is that when on the day of judgment, or when she dies and gets to heaven, and when God will say, okay, welcome. She said she would like to look at the Lord and say, I tried. Do you understand my point? I did the best that I could. I exerted my energy according, I'm using my own words now. I exerted my energy according to the opportunity that you gave to me. Now, please, bear that one in mind. I exerted my energy according to the opportunities. Now, I'm not counting the number of souls that were saved. I'm not counting the number of people that were healed, but at least I tried. Now, that's what I wanted to understand. So what I'm talking about, how to succeed easily. I am not talking about how to get results easily. That's another thing. Because what God is judging is not the results that I got, but what? The labor that I put in. Because the amount of results, he said, is not within my control. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Each person is judged faithful. Each person is judged successful according to the degree that he labored, judging by the amount of opportunities that God gave to him. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So therefore, you know, there was something I said earlier that he said, hope that is deferred makes the heart sick. Now, let me explain what I mean by hope. That is an expectation. If a man, all right, if a woman is trying to do something, there's a focus you have. There is what you want to achieve in the labor that you are putting in. Do you get my point? Now, he said, when you don't get that, you tend to be discouraged. That's what he's saying. That, you know, you labor, you put in, somebody told you that, look, this is how to do it. There's a quick way to make money in dealing in Forex. So you have invested in Forex, thinking that, like my friend would say those days, by December, we'll buy a V-boot. That was... You understand what I'm saying? So by December, we buy a V-boot. Now, you're thinking, okay, we've invested in Forex. By December, we buy a V-boot. But unfortunately, by December, you ain't buying nothing. In fact, V-boot is buying you, as I know, if you look at the way things are. All right? That's what it calls a desire, a hope that is deferred. That is, you have calculated, we should be able to do this, do that, and then it doesn't happen. Now, that's why I'm explaining this principle. That the issue, this is what it is. You know, I taught something some time ago. I think it was in church. And I said, we used to have this end of a year camp meeting kind of setting. So I taught in one of the sessions. We met every day in church. And I explained this thing about New Year resolution. That you see, you cannot get up, maybe you're a businessman, and say, next year, I will do a turnover of 100 million naira. You cannot do that. It is not within your control. You cannot get up and make me pay money for your goods. What if I don't like you? You follow what the point I'm gonna make? So you see, you cannot just get up because a customer is not your servant. You don't dictate to him. Sometimes I see companies, maybe people that they are trying to do business, and they start talking to the customer as if you have no choice but to use us. Now, at such times, I sometimes just take delight in refusing to use you just to prove to you that you need me as much as I need you. In fact, the way things are right now in this country, sometimes you need me more than I need you. You get what I'm saying? If I use your phone, I just get to walk across to the next shop, change the line. After SIM card, now how much is it? 200 naira, you're another network. So, you know, I'm trying to bring out something. So you cannot just get up and decide that, yes, I will turn over 100 million. He said, Pastor Banky, what are you saying? I said, no, such things, you pray about them. You don't decide them. You desire them, and you do what? You pray about them. You know, my wife does business. You know, at the beginning of the year, you say, okay, this is what I desire to attain this year. This is what I will like. And then you pray, hoping that, at least believing that God will answer favorably towards you. Now, but what can you do? I taught in that message. I don't know whether we have it now. I'm sure we have it, but I don't know which particular message now. I'm sure we have it. in our catalog. Now, so what exactly can you do? I said, what you can do is to say that maybe I used to get to work at 9 o'clock. I will start getting to work at 8. Are you following my point? Now, maybe I used to sell my goods at maybe 1,000 naira for a unit. I will try and sell at 950. No, you are following the point I'm making. Now, instead of having shop in one city, this year I will open a second shop somewhere. Now, you are taking steps. Remember when we were discussing Genesis chapter 1? That why didn't the Bible say that God made the heaven and the earth and made all that it contains? Why didn't he just say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that it contains? And in the same way, you just say the earth was created by God and the fullness thereof and everything that it contains. It doesn't say that. It says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth without, you know, all of that. The one, he said, and God said, let there be light. After he said that, he went next time. He said, let this one happen. Let the waters be gathered. Let the firmaments be separated into this and that. Let dry land appear. Let one day at a time, he did things that advanced where he was going. Do you follow what I'm saying? So in the same manner, if God gives you the wisdom, you can decide that this is what I want to do this coming year. Now, instead of maybe importing my goods only from the United States, I'll start importing also from Asia. Instead of manufacturing only in Enugu, we'll start manufacturing also in Lagos. Now, there are steps you can take towards achieving 100 million naira in sales. You are getting what I'm saying, all right? But you cannot decide that people must give you 100 million. That is, you can only plant and water and then pray that God will give the increase. Therefore, you must learn how to judge your success. Your success is not according to 100 million naira turnover, but your success is according to the number of things you said you will do. How many of them did you do? And if you did that, even though 100 million naira turnover didn't come, you have not failed. You have succeeded. Are you getting my point? Let me give you an example. If you notice, I did not say at any time that this is the, maybe like talking about Kingdom One, I want to give us an example. I've talked to you before at the beginning of the year. Okay, let me just tell what I say what, not what I did not say. When we're talking about projections for this year, I said we'll release 12 books and we'll do 10 seminars. I did not say we will receive 50 million naira in offering. You know, that one is like, there's nothing I can do. I am not going to beg anybody. I am not going to get up and say, God spoke to me to come and tell the mystery of breakthrough. Go and sell your father's house and bring the offering, and then you will be surprised at what God will do. My God will bless you. Listen, I will not deal deceitfully. Do you understand my point? I will not handle the word of God craftily. No. If I want 50 million naira in offering to sponsor all the work of God, you know what I can do? I will go home and pray. Are you getting my point? You have not because you ask not. So I will go and ask. And then one thing about God is you can't give him time. You can't time God. Listen, I have a feeling he gets angry with timing. Say, God, between now and then, you will do this. Okay, I'm not doing. So what is going to happen? So I don't do it now. You will arrest me. You are getting my point? All my mates have married. So before the end of this year, God said, all right, let's see. I wanted to even give you, but this year, I'm not giving you again. It's the beginning of next year. Just to prove to you that your times are in my hands. You know, my decisions are not in your hands. You follow the plan I make. But then desires are good. You can go to the Lord with the desire. That's the point I am making. So I can go to God and pray this because God sees my desire. And of course, I discussed it. That book, I hope all of you have a copy. Now, if you don't, you either know my friend or you explain to me at the end of this today. Yes, why you don't have great faith can be yours. In fact, whether you have it or not is not even my issue now. It's whether you have finished reading it by now. You're getting my point. Now, so please, what's the point I'm making? So you see, we can't put God in a box. You know, I was going to refer to something I wrote in that book. Let me see what I can get back. I forgot it for a moment. Now, we can't put God in the box and say, God, you must even want, no. No, God respects our desires. Okay, in that book, I explained that, you see, God waits sometimes for our desires to sync with his plan. That is, it was vital to God that Abraham wanted a child, seriously. It was vital to God that Abraham wanted to have nations coming out of him. It was very vital to God because that helped the two of them work together. Abraham was not chasing A and God was going towards B. No, God ensured that Abraham was now focusing on where he wanted to focus. Because what God wanted to bring forth was something like this. You and I sitting down this Monday evening studying the word of God, because that's what he called out of your bowels, many nations will come forth. We discussed that talking about the different nations. There's not just Jews or, you know, because there are many nations. A father of many nations I have made thee. It was crucial to God that Abraham wanted that also. You are getting my point? Now, he may not have understood the depth of it. That's very possible. Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking. Sometimes we are looking for something. We don't know the extent of the thing we're actually asking for. Where it's going to carry us, how far it will reach. In Abraham's imagination, I don't think he understood that he will become the talk of the whole earth at a particular point in time. There are four different groups of people, or three different groups of people, will be arguing that he's our father, he's our father, he's our father. The Muslims come and say, he's our father. The Jews said, I don't know who's your father. Abraham is my father. You understand? And the Christians said, don't mind the two of them. We are the true circumcision who worship in the spirit and who have no confidence in the flesh. We are of the faith of Abraham. We are not talking about natural descent. Do you get my point? That even God, Jesus will be talking about that same Abraham. Abraham didn't think that far. Believe me, he didn't have the mental capacity to think that far. But at least he was thinking in that direction. Are you getting my point? So I said, desires are good. But what we do is to present them to God, and God will, I believe, eventually give them to us. But when we're talking about succeeding easily, I say you don't put a race before you that is not yours to run. Are you getting my point? You get up and say, yes, we can have a target, we can have a plan. It can be that this we have these steps we are taking towards achieving that goal. But the achievement of it, we don't score ourselves by it. That's a mistake people make. You score yourself by steps you have put in front of you that this is what I will do. Like Paul will tell you, my purpose is to preach the gospel everywhere that it has not been preached. You understand my point? But you couldn't preach it in two places at a time. So you preach here today, then he hears that, there are this place, people, Peter and James and John were here last year for a crusade. He doesn't go there. He goes to the next place. So as every opportunity opens, he preaches. You have get what I'm saying? So how do I measure myself? Now, you've heard me say it again and again. 12 books, we're going to do this year. Now, at least I'm certain, fairly certain, actually, that 4 will come out this month, because 2 is already out. The other 2 is currently being worked on. And I made the printer promise that by the 24th of this month, he will release the next 2. Do you get my point? Now, you say, Pastor Mike, what are you doing about that? I'll tell you what I'm doing about that. I write them. Do you follow what I mean? Most of them are written already. They just need to be completed. They have already been written. One of these ones that came out, Choice is Key to Destiny, I wrote it to the wife I was going to marry, who's now my wife. I had not married her then. It was a young woman I wanted to marry. So it was like, okay, let me teach you something. You are fired away. I wrote it in a paper and sent. I'm serious about that. That's what has been printed as a book, Choice is Key to Destiny. All right? Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote that book in 2 weeks. That something led to it. I got down to the house and there was a book I was working on titled How Christians Get Results. That one will also come out this year, all right? I just pushed that one aside, opened another file, and began to write. And at the end of 2 weeks, Great Faith Can Be Yours was essentially at least 90% completed. Later on, I just put finishing touches, reread them, corrected this and that, and it is out. While I'm working on that, another one came to my mind. The title is very funny. It's titled Worship and Sex Control. It's a very funny, funny title. I will analyze it later. I've never seen any book written like that, but I have the outline out already. Once I have the time, I write it. There's another one I'm working on at the same time. Different ones. As one is finishing, I jump into the next one. As one is finishing, why? That one is within my control. Do you follow my point? It's within my control. And I have, sometimes we'll sit down and say, look, I believe, you see, you have to learn to recognize seasons. That for Kingdom World Ministries, for Pastor Banky at this season, the only reason why I will not sell 2,000 books in 2 weeks is because of distribution, not because of audience who will buy it. You get what I'm trying to say? That's why our hindrance. Yesterday, Yinka was in my house, and I said, Yinka, look, brainstorm, we need to brainstorm. How do we get these books out? It's just to get them out. So I believed, watching by the seasons, things that are going on, that way it's a season in which we can sell 1,700 books, and I said to the maker, we must not sell everything. Because when we go for seminars, we must have books to take there. If somebody comes tomorrow and says, Pastor Mark, I want to buy all the books, I say, oh boy, you can only buy this 1,000. And you bring the money first so I can rush back to the press. Let them replace the one you have taken. Now, I'm trying to explain something that I've watched that. Therefore, I say, okay, we pay for this, we pay for that. You know, there's a simple thing. I can write 12 books. I can send 12 books to the press. And let me tell you the fact, the way I judge myself. If by December, only 6 books are out, I won't feel bad as long as I sent 12 to the press. I don't know whether you get my logic there. Yes, as long as, because if along the line I suddenly don't have money, I don't consider that I failed. No, I am not judging myself by the number of books we're able to sell, all right? But I'm judging by the amount, number of books we had ready out on the way to the press. You follow what I'm saying? Then seminars also. One, I told you, Zemeka, as soon as I finish away, if I, by now, should I book the hall in Abakaliki? We'll discuss that one this week. The after that, I book the hall in Oka. You know, one after the other, those are the ones I can do. Do you get what I'm saying? So when I want to assess myself at the end of the year, all right? What do I check? Okay, Pastor Man, after all the shout, you shouted. How many books did you carry to the press? You follow the logic, all right? So you see a young student, you say, oh, I must have an A1 in physics. That is a desire. Do you get my point? But maybe before, I used to read physics only 30 minutes of the week, all right? And I said, no, I must know it very well. So I doubled the number of hours, or maybe I say, okay, now I must read at least 30 minutes every day. Now, there are problem areas. There's a particular person I have identified that can help me. Okay, I want to do extra lessons. My parents don't have the money, so I have made up my mind I will wash 4 cars a day to raise extra money for the lessons. Do you get the point I'm making? Then when you have put all of that together, then a man receives his reward according to his labor. So success is judged not whether I got my A1 or not, but that every step that God revealed to me that I needed to take, I took it. That's why James and John went to Jesus and said, grant that we will sit on your left and your right. Jesus said, can you drink the cup? They said, we can. Can you take the baptism? They said, we can. He said, very fine. You have qualified. Whether you get there, really, I cannot decide. But drink the cup, fine. Take the baptism, fine. Between you and us, we can arrange those ones. But as for whether we will now get there, and let me tell you something. Sometimes what God does for his children is to stir up something in you. At the end of the day, this will shock you. That thing is not fulfilled. But you have qualified in preparing for that for a greater thing. No, if you don't believe what I'm saying, open your book to your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Let me show you something there. Isaiah chapter 49. It said, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. And he has made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Now this verse 3, God said, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But now notice the disappointment. Hope that is deferred, that makes the heart sick. He said, but I said, I have toiled in vain. That is, I had a goal. I couldn't achieve it. I have spent my strength. I spent my strength. Notice the man labored diligently. He said, I spent my strength. But what did I get? I got nothing and I received vanity. I spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Next line says, yet, this is my confidence. Surely, I know this. Surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. Then God began to answer. He said, but now says the Lord, who formed him from the womb to his servant, to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, in order that Israel might be gathered to him, because I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. What did God say? Verse 6, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, with this limitation, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Now, please, before I read further, notice what he was saying. That is, when I was spending my strength, I was spending my strength so as to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. When I was laboring diligently, what was I going towards? The restoration of the preserved ones of Israel and the raising up of the tribes of Jacob. And God, having seen my labor, said, no, that is too small a thing for me to do in you. That is smaller than what I really wanted to achieve in you. You had that goal, yes. You took your steps towards it. You spent your energy. That's what I wanted to note there. He actually spent his energy, but what did he get? Nothing. According to what he desired. God now said, this is actually what I want to do. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now listen, thus says the Lord, he said, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by nations, to the servant of rulers. That is, this is the current state that this man is in. He's despised, nobody likes him, he's servant, is a servant where rulers are present. This is what he will experience at the end of the day. Kings shall see and arise. Princes shall also bow down, that is, before you, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is this, that the Bible says there is a favorable time in which God will help you and he will answer. Before that time, you might spend your energy for no result. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And I'm explaining that, how do you judge yourself? It's not according to the reward I have gotten, but according to what? The labor that I have put in, judging by the opportunity that God has given me. Listen, this is the limitation of man. You may try and get nothing, but God judges the fact that you tried. Do you get the point I'm making? You may try, and physically, you don't get anything. Don't forget this thing I said before, that life is a reward. Are you getting me? All the labels of righteousness might throw a man into jail, but God has already scored him as being qualified for another level. You follow my point? Don't forget, God weighs people. He judges them. Then he files them. See what I said? He files the report. He takes a test. After God has tested everybody, then he files the report. Says, everybody go home. We will call you. Don't call us. You're getting what I'm saying? We will call you. Don't call us. That's how God does it also. I mean, how do I know? When they wrote on the wall, many, many tekel fasten, what was it? God has placed you on a scale and has found you wanting. That was all God did with the man. Do you follow my point? Yes, he judges people. But Isaiah told us there, that having done that, he said, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow, and he has hidden me in his quiver. Listen, I wanted to preach many years ago. Do you get what I'm saying? Many years ago. And I dreamt the dream when I was a youth copper, all right, during my youth service, in which I knew that the dream of preaching would be very, very far away. Do you follow my point? Yes, I did. But one of the things I got encouragement from, one day somebody read the scripture in my ear, and I said, what is that in the Bible? Isaiah chapter 49. And I got there and I read it. And I discovered that there's one thing God does after sharpening you sometimes, you know, putting fire in your bones, all right? You take two steps, you get into trouble, then they throw you into the wilderness of Midian, and you start tending sheep. Redeemer of Israel starts tending sheep. I know your name is Moses, so you understand what I'm trying to say. Fire in your bones. That is, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. And the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. A young man with fire in his bones came to me one day. Oh, he said, sir, I have been so blessed. I did a seminar in Benin then. And he wanted me to talk with him. I started with me while he said, okay, please, before you go, sir, pray for me. I prayed for him. He said, give me a word from your spirit, you know, you know, fire in his bones. I said, oh, Lord, that is, oh, Lord God of hosts, what is this boy demanding from me? Of course, you want a word from my spirit, a word from my spirit you shall get. So I just bowed down for a short while in my mind. And then the word that came out of my spirit, I said, bro, take it easy. I said, Brother Lou, take it easy. He looked at me with shock in his face. You wanted a word from my spirit? No, sir. It has come out now. You know why the guy was shocked? He said he asked for another word from another spirit a few days ago. The person he asked also told him the same thing. Oh, boy, take it easy. There was one advert I used to see on CNN. He said, this is a word of advice from the house of Master Patassé de la Cré. Don't worry about the word, all right? I got it right. That's what they said, all right? Makers of the world's, masters of biscuits, something like that. Makers of the world-class biscuits. So the advice is for the world's stockbrokers. They did not show people trading on the trading floor. He said, relax. Take it easy. That's how we make biscuits in the kitchen. And they turn out great. He said, if we made biscuits the way you did business,
who also have calamities in the kitchen too. You know, show stockbrokers that are wounded. Why fight? So I told the brother Lou, I said, oh boy, take him easy. The reason because, of course, you can see here, God sometimes will sharpen your mouth. That is, you want to talk. And then he gives you no platform to say anything. Do you get what I'm saying? No, you've heard my story several times. Those days I will take a stroll and I start talking to nobody. All right? Just start preaching. Just when I was in Luz then, walk down towards the quarters there. Just start preaching. What I want to share with you, who? Nobody. The birds of the air. All right? And the darkness that surrounds me. I want to share with you what God says about purpose. How to walk in the purpose of God and redeem the time. And talk. Usually after about 15 minutes, I'm tired. My mouth is weak because it just pressure. At least we let out some pressure. But it's paying off now because like that, I wrote some materials. I mean, the one I just mentioned, Choice Key to Destiny, is one of those materials. It's out now as a book. The Righteousness of God, Your Future Has Been Made, Prophesied. They were all articles I wrote those days for magazines. Do you understand? And most certainly they are out now. They'll be out as tiny, tiny, tiny little books. But that's the season in which a man is in the quiver. What am I discussing? How to judge correctly. You know, after laboring, my friend, if you're a businessman, my friend has made 50 million, may have not made nothing. God is not concerned about that. He checks, did I give you an opportunity? What did you do with it? Are you getting me? If you used it rightly. Now, you see, one of the things you have to do in life is to learn how to judge with righteous judgment, not just according to physically manifested results. Because if Jesus did that, there was a time he shared a deep revelation and everybody left. You know, church was plenty. Church was big. I mean, they were expanding walls. When Jesus would, you know, Sunday service, when Jesus would arrive, even Pharisees would be there. Those who didn't believe in him. You know, a lot of people go to church, don't believe in what is going on there. Just like it's Sunday morning. You have to be in church. The Pharisees were in church. The Sadducees were there. Even the Roman soldiers were hanging out to see what was going on, really. All right, let's see whether he will see it. Church was just full. And then there were the disciples who wanted to make the multitude, not the disciples, who wanted to make him king. And then there were the disciples who really were listening. And then Jesus woke up one day in John chapter 6 and began to teach revelation. Except you drink my blood and eat my flesh. Say, what did he say? Maybe the church was like 50,000 that day. At the end of the service, we didn't know what was going on until the midweek service came. We found only Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, you know. Judas will be around. I mean, offering is still going on, so Judas is not going anywhere. Where is everybody? This is not a joke. On Sunday, where is everybody? Church don't empty, finish. Jesus just smiled. Peter and Cole would have been wondering, what is going on? This church is no longer growing. It was because of what we said. They look at some of them looking down. He said, do you want to go to? The church is no longer growing. No, it's no longer nice. And Peter speaks, saying, no. You know, to whom shall we go? You know the rest of the story. You have the words of eternal life. But this is what I want to bring out from there. If he was judging by that result, do you get my point? He would have regretted teaching truth. You know the problem we were having some time ago. You can't know what I'm talking about now, right? I said, no. If it is truth, you speak the truth. You get my point? And you know, you don't worry about the consequences. I like what my pastor in Lagos used to say those days. He said, what is the will of God? He said, do the right thing. The consequences are the will of God. Do what is right. Whatever comes out of it is the will of God. Miss Potiphar said, come here. He said, I'm not coming. I grab your shirt. Remove your hand and disappear. For doing that, what did I get now? I landed in prison. That is the will of God. You see, I said that thing before. The will of God is not judged. Go and read the first chapter of that book, What is God's Will Here. The first segment was to discuss what exactly is the will of God. Because the problem a lot of times with believers is that we are thinking differently about something, contrary to what God is thinking about it. See, what is the will of God? We think that what is that which, you know, how do I move up in hierarchy in the house of Potiphar? Are you getting my point? How will I become very favored with Potiphar that everything will just be under my control? That's not what the will of God is. Like we said, the ultimate is that God has designed something for your life to work according to that which God wrote down before you were born is the will of God, not how it feels. So for Joseph, how will you walk into the will of God? Every time you are given the opportunity, do that which is right. If you land in jail, cool. That is, Father, I thank you because right now, The will of God is imprisonment. You're not likely to say it with confidence, but at least believe it. Yes, no, jail never feels good. No matter how much revelation you have, it's hard, right, to feel good about it. But I'm trying to explain that that is what defines the will of God, all right? You do that which is right. So I was saying that it doesn't always come out with brilliant results, but we don't judge it according to the results it is getting in natural terms, but we judge it according to whether it is right or it is not right. So we'll sit down and say, I was saying about that New Year resolution thing I was talking about. So then I explain to people that, look, you look at the thing you really desire, all right? It's good. But then what are the steps you can take? I mean, next year I want a car. That is desire. You get my point? Desire. If any man desires the office of a bishop, you can even desire to be a pope. It's desire. There's nothing. It's not a problem. Now, keep on saying desire. That one's not a problem. But what will you now do towards getting it? Sometimes there is nothing that's given to you as a revelation to do. So it means a desire. You can't do anything. But what I'm trying to say is that, what is it that I will now do? If there are things that I can do something about, then those things that are to be done, I do them. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? You see, the power of Christianity, and I found that one out, that we just have to learn to walk with God as believers. And that's what's important. Every other thing is added. I have learned to pray to God for things. Sometimes when I look at things that people are running after in life, and I see the way I'm approaching them, and I tell myself, Banky, either you have faith or you are very stupid. It's one of the two. That is, either you have faith or you are a goat. There's no other way. But I have found that I'm not a goat. So I concluded that it must be because I have faith. Do you get the point I'm making? What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Let me just very practical. I said, one day a man came to me and said, oh, God, you don't try. I'm sure you are building a house somewhere. I said, no, I'm not building a house. Don't you want to have it? Of course I want. So what are you doing about it? You want to know? I will tell you. I prayed about it. Yes, I have. And each day, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In January, I pay my landlord plenty of money. That is the problem of that day. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Somebody said, go and pack and stay in one tiny, tiny apartment so that you can gather your rent and use it to build a house. I said, the kind of house I've prayed for, they don't use this amount of rent to build it. I don't know whether you get my logic. Say, Pastor Banky, how will it happen? Let me tell you how it will happen. Many ways, but one. One of the ways by which it will happen is that God will increase my financial flow so much that one day it will just make common sense to do one. Right now, for me, it does not make common sense. It's going to take too much out of, you know, you rob Peter to pay Paul. I said, no, this Peter that I'm giving my money to, in quotes, he needs the money. This Paul does not need it. What am I chasing after? And I say, You know, and like, I have built a big house too. No. What I know is that he said, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink. I don't know what I'm saying is making sense to you. All right? Listen, each day, he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I watch the things that are within the evil, in quotes, you know, of the day. And as I do them effectively, then I have prospered. That's it. I probably don't pray for some things, you know what I mean? There are things like, okay, if I need a new shirt, for example, not likely I will pray about it. I'll just buy one. You follow my point? And the day will also come. And if I need a new house, I won't pray about it. I'll just buy one. It's called hope that the sin is no longer hope. No, you're getting what I'm saying. Until that day, however, that's what I'm explaining. I say how to succeed easily is for us to redefine what success is. You get what I'm saying? We redefine it. So I put in my labor. Now, I was explaining something. Let me not digress from it. I have discovered that is the thing about Christianity. What he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Did you hear that? Yes, most certainly he will. So I have learned that thing. Anything that is outside my control, I pray about it. Simple. Until God brings it within my control, which again is a result of previous prayers. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, I don't pray for food. Like, God, please give me food to eat. What I do is, Father, I thank you. Usually when I need food, what do? I buy food. You know what God has done in effect? He has given you authority over food. Oh, God. You are not getting what I'm trying to say. Each time God increases the realm of your authority. Can I get you to teach us about Jesus Christ those days? That even he increased in the amount of power that was manifested in his life. That there was a time we're just healing small things. Then Isaiah healing big things. There was raising the dead. There was a time he healed many of them. Then there was a time he healed all of them. So at each point in time, God brings something under your control. There are things I'm talking about money now. Like now, Kingdom World Ministries, there are things that has brought under our control. We pay rent here under our control, easy. We pay Cosmo FM, it's under our control, amen? The Lord is good. Uh-huh. Then we are praying and then TV will soon come under our control. You are following the point I'm making. As each point, he increases us. That's the point I'm making. And then, some things are no longer issues of let us pray and join hands and believe that it will happen. Paul said, hope that is seen is no longer hope. Why should a man hope for that which he already sees? But then, how do you sustain that which you already see? Thanksgiving. So every time they bring food, say, Father, I thank you. You understand my point? Food is now under our control. You get what I'm trying to say? So you must learn to judge your success according to that which God has placed under your control. That's what I'm trying to say. So when you want to say, have I succeeded? Okay, now this year I said I was going to buy a car and that did not happen. People, most new year, they say, oh my God, sometimes, I think sometimes as ministers, we play to the gallery. Play to the gallery. Everybody wants to be in church the 31st of December into 1st of January. And we want to oblige them. I remember last time I was in church, 31st of December. As soon as Happy New Year, I saw a lot of guys just get up and stroll out. You know why? The jams was going on right across. They were booging down there. They just had to make that first of, that crossover night in the presence of the Lord. Now they can go back to the presence of the devil and the year shall be okay. After all, we crossed over in the presence of the Lord. You understand what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, so sometimes we now get up at that time, we just want to make all the New Year's resolutions and the desires that must be concluded that year. I explained something when I preached around, I think it was in January in church, and I was saying something about, it was somewhere where I went to do seminar then. Now, I explained to them that, look, something did not happen manifested last year doesn't mean that God didn't do it. Are you getting my point? And that the revelation of last year is not discarded because a new year has come. That the revelation of God comes is an introduction into a realm of new things. Are you getting my point? And then next year he introduces you into another realm, but it doesn't mean you have left the previous one. Do you get what I'm saying? The fact that, that you've learned that Jehovah Jireh, that's revelation for the year. The next year it says Jehovah Nissi. Does not mean it's no longer Jehovah Jireh. It's not only Jehovah Nissi. We just added the revelation of Nissi to Jireh. That's how God works. You are getting what I'm trying to say? So it's not completed, physically manifested. It doesn't mean anything at all. You don't put God within the 365-day box. You can't. God writes his own calendar. You follow my point? And like I explained before, that he writes it according to the fullness of events. God is training you to be able to receive something that he wants to bring down. If you get the training done in 365 days, fine. If it takes double that, fine. He said, God is not slow as some count slowness, but is waiting for everyone to repent. That is a process of repentance and change of mind till you become conformed to the image of Christ in your heart. That God is waiting for before he pours something upon you. How do I judge success, therefore? That's another thing I should add to it because I want to close now. That's the fact that I'm making continual improvement. You get my point? In my personal walk with God, that's another very important thing. I used to be very hot-tempered. Now I am not. Now, those are real things. He said, the man that cannot control his spirit is like a city without walls. So even though we give him plenty of wealth, things will steal it. So that is a more important progress in success, all right, than material possession. He said, he that rules his city, his spirit, is better than he that takes a city. Therefore, if a man can say, I have improved in ruling my spirit, Now, I was sharing something with my friend just now, we're discussing. I said, if I see something that's very nice and very beautiful and I would like to have, as I have learned that, just relax for 2 days. I didn't get my point. Second day, come on, look at it. After 2 days, look at it again. It's very nice, so it's very beautiful. And I wouldn't mind having it. You know, it's beginning to change. At the end of 1 week, do I really need it, self? Is that telling yourself the truth? You have learned to control your spirit. You know how the market thinks? If you go to those advanced countries, they are designed to put you into slavery. Blow out sales, ends 12 midnight. Once you say, shut it down. There's nothing, you were not planning to buy anything before. They say, look, incredible sales. 50% off, ends by 12 midnight. If you don't need it, you don't need it. For you know, that's how children get into trouble. Not by children, emotional children. All my mates have 72 inch plasma TVs. How come I have only 32 inch? I have to, it's now going on sale. It used to be $4,000. Sale is now only $2,000. You've forgotten that even the $2,000 you don't have. No, I used to say something those days. That, and this is a personal experience, matter of fact. I buy this thing now, it is cheap. I say, listen, it may be cheap, absolutely speaking, but relative to me, it's expensive. That time, when it will be more expensive, it will be relative to me cheap because I will have money that time. I said, so relax. I know they buy now. No, it's true. I'm talking about learning to control your spirit. No, that trick works. Sir, and please, this is just by the way. When I tell you, no. Those now things are all lie. They're all lie. You know, my wife does business. Sometimes people say that, please, somebody wants to buy this thing. They want it now. She has learned that as now, I am just getting home. And I'm not going out to go and see any prospective customer now. If the now person cannot wait till tomorrow, too bad. Then they'll phone you tomorrow morning. Say, well, just let us just wait until this morning. She says, sorry, I'm not going out till evening. No, we have to have it now. Listen, the time I'm going out this evening, if you want it now, come to my house and come and collect it. It's okay, I think we'll wait till evening. I say, look at you. By the way, you must learn some things. That what is yours. Stop rushing after that which is your own. Do you get what I'm going to say? If it's your own, it has a homing missile. It's a homing missile. You know, it has a homing device on it. It will find you and come back. Now, I'm not saying that a man should be absolutely slack, but the man must never be in a haste. He that believes the Bible said is never in a haste. You are getting the point I'm making. And now, let me just close, please, because like I said, I still have a lot of things to do today. What point have I made? I've said that this is how you succeed easily. We'll define success. You take that which God has placed in your control. When you use it effectively, what God does is to now decide that you have qualified. And in the appointed and the appropriate time, you get my point? Then he will now place you into a place bigger than you yourself could have imagined. You get the point I'm making. That's one thing about God, though. And that every believer must learn it. Have you gotten my point? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.